The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
Ireland has an increasing prevalence of cocaine use from small towns through to big cities. And there are those who would suggest that among certain demographics, it is becoming ubiquitous as a central part to most nights out. That despite it being highly addictive, hugely dangerous and part of a massive illegal drugs trade. I'm going to be joined in a second by Chief Superintendent Seamus Boland, who's head of An Garda Síochána's Drugs and Organised Crime Bureau. But first, Joanna Ivers is with us. She's a professor of addiction in the School of Medicine at Trinity College Dublin. Joanna, maybe you might give us a sense of what you're seeing in the School of Medicine in terms of the increasing prevalence of and addiction to cocaine.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of things, Anton. So we are obviously seeing people, as you say, at the further end of addiction presenting for treatment more. So in 2022, we've seen cocaine surpass opioids for the first time in the history of our treatment as our primary presentation. So that's at the, I suppose, the far end of the severity. But I suppose then when we think about the broader widespread use of cocaine, that's grown exponentially. If you were to look at figures from, let's say, the Health Research Board or the EUDA. So we know from our national and our European figures that there's an exponential growth. And what we see when we dig into that then is that we've got other populations. So we've got people who are using it in a harmful and a hazardous way, and people who are having a dependence but may not be presenting. So they're not quite at the addiction level, but they are using in a way that's very harmful maybe to themselves, but they're functioning through it. So there's a number of populations when we break it down, but it is, I suppose, in terms of, I'm from the discipline of public health, so from a public health perspective, it's far more widespread than it would have been maybe a decade or two ago.
Give us a sense of the populations where it is most commonly being used.
Well, it's most commonly used, I think, recreationally. And I think, you know, moving away from treatment and data, most Irish people will know someone that's using cocaine. And I suppose if we think about our problematic drug use, for years, we would have been talking about opioids and predominantly heroin. People in Ireland wouldn't have known, you know, a huge amount of people that were using that. But I suppose if you think about, you know, the places that people socialise and go out now, that it is widespread. So most people will be in places where someone else is using it and lots of groups are using it that wouldn't have been, again, using drugs maybe two decades ago.
Have you any insight, does the data give any insight into why it is becoming so popular?
Well, I suppose it's like, you know, it is a popular drug because, again, as I say, it's widespread and most people, there's a normalization to cocaine that we wouldn't have had, let's say, with other drugs, as I say, like heroin or other broader opioids. So there's definitely an acceptance, there's an availability. And as I say, there is a point of relativity. People know people that use cocaine, so they are more likely then to be either in a space or okay with other people or themselves using it. So there's definitely a normalisation that's going on too.
Is there also a flawed belief that it is somehow cleaner or less dangerous than other drugs?
Yeah, and again, that's a bit of a cyclical thing. If you think about that point of relativity, that it's the same thing when, you know, when we see it with alcohol, that, you know, two things happen. One, you have people like you that use it and they're fine and they're functioning and they're going to the gym and they're keeping down a solid job and all of those things. And then you'll always see someone that uses it in a more harmful way. And you can point to that and say, well, you know, I do it once a week, but I don't do it every day, or I do it once a month, but I don't do it weekly. So it's kind of like they're a bit cyclical, the arguments, you know.
And in terms of the one of the other cyclical arguments that you hear is the one that suggests that it is not as, quotes, addictive as maybe some of the opioids. Is there truth in that?
There is truth in, no, there's, sorry, there's, it is a highly addictive drug, but it's different, let's say, to something like heroin, because people tend not to use heroin recreationally. Of course, there will be tiny populations that do, but generally it's a more, I suppose, publicly, the general public would see it as more harmful. But cocaine is absolutely a drug that you can be addicted to, and it comes with a lot of health consequences and psychosocial consequences.
As I said, Detective Chief Superintendent Seamus Boland is with us. Seamus, good morning.
Good morning, Anton, and thanks for the invitation.
It is a pleasure. Can I ask you, Seamus, whenever you discuss cocaine, people will say, well, my local sports club, you know, you see the queues outside the toilets, there's an event on, you know that X, Y, and Z people are on it. There is a sort of an accepted norm of cocaine use across the country that I don't think we've previously had with significantly damaging narcotics. How has it gotten so ubiquitous?
Yeah, well, first of all, Anton, great to hear Johanna there, who I've met on a number of occasions, and I agree with absolutely everything that she's actually said to you there a moment ago. So, you know, one of the real issues with cocaine is that it's seen as, you know, handle a recreational drug, unfortunately. So it's in the main, it's a drug that is used by probably the majority of people who are socializing. It tends to also run in line with alcohol, so people will be on a night out. And unfortunately, the normalization of it has become a huge issue, I suppose, where it's kind of a drug for many decades was almost glorified as the drug of the celebrities and the drug of the rich, and is now available to much more people across the country.
Is that a function, though, as well, Seamus, of our current economic standing? I mean, it is still a more expensive drug than most, so I assume a chunk of it is that we're rich enough to afford it.
Well, there you go, Anton. You're after saying what I was about to add, actually, because it is absolutely an indication of our economic standing. And I know previously, you know, from discussions with colleagues, even in the Department of Health, who would agree that when the economic crash happened previously, the numbers of people presenting for treatment for cocaine addiction dropped dramatically. And then when, you know, the economy came back in a good footing, unfortunately, the number of people using cocaine increases again. So you know, the important thing for us as well, the reality with cocaine, it's so unique as well, Anton. Good people use cocaine. People who, you know, would not commit crime. You know, people, you know, who the state benefits from, you know, their input to many activities across the state. But they just do not realise a lot of the time what they're actually funding because of the setting in which they take it, because many people are taking it in a social setting, and there are people who do not live in areas of deprivation. There are people where violence is generally not arriving at their door, and they can fund now, their...
Can I ask
addiction
on that, James? I understand the point that you are making, but surely it doesn't take a genius to work out that the cocaine that you buy on a night out is the cocaine that funds an industry where people end up chopped up in bags, dumped outside people's houses. Like, it isn't a massive logical leap to see that you are the end consumer that makes all that happen.
I agree, Anton, and that's why we currently now have started in Angara Síochána. We've our Every Lion Funds Crime campaign, because, you know, we do want to get that message out to people. You know, like, this is the reality of what's going on. And the other issue people need to realise, you know, in social cocaine use, you know, what you're taking and what you're buying, no matter how clean you think or your environment is, you know, the cocaine seized in this country is all analysed by our forensic science Ireland laboratory. And the most recent analysis that they have actually conducted is, you know, some of what is being sold in pubs and clubs and being used socially throughout Ireland has actually contained less than 2% cocaine. You know, so people are actually using powder, which may contain a small amount of cocaine, but in general will also contain other chemicals, benzocaine, lidocaine, and on many occasions even crushed paracetamol tablets. So you know, this is what's actually happening. So we're trying to get the message out to people. And I think, you know, Commissioner Justin Kelly has previously said it in other interviews. You know, lots of people out there, they are good people. They're conscious of the environment. They're worrying about their green bins and their brown bins, and they're driving electric cars, and yet they'll go out and they'll snort cocaine at a weekend. And, you know, these are people who then read the newspapers or listen to news talk on a Monday morning and hear about the savage attacks that have happened somewhere throughout the country, the people who have lost their lives and the deprivation, and give out about the state of crime in Ireland and take absolutely no responsibility. So the idea of our Every Lion Funds a Crime campaign is we're just trying to highlight to people we need help. We need the social drug use people who are engaging in it to understand that their activities, you know, does fund organised crime and you know, drug use, social drug use. It's a unique crime. It's basic economics. It's supply versus demand. You know, and in all the conversations that we have with our colleagues internationally, particularly in South America, in the production countries like Colombia or Peru, you know, the supply is only feeding the demand. Demand is the problem. So we're asking for help. We're asking for people who are engaging in social drug use. Just understand what you're funding, what you're fueling, and let's try and decrease the demand. Because, you know, the other consequences of this is all addiction arises initially from social drugs use. And then, you know, the ancillary circumstances that we end up having to deal with in policing or in the Department of Health with addiction is public order, you know, assaults, that will all be the resulting issues that we end up spending a lot of our time, you know, trying to deal with from the policing perspective or, as I say, the Department of Health with the addiction issues that arise.
Now, Seamus, stay with me because I want to come back to the issue of demand. But Johanna, that thing that Seamus was saying about the perception of the drug within certain cohorts, is that what you see in the treatment and public health side of things? Is there a sort of a brand that has been established of acceptability?
Yeah, I think that was the earlier point, is that there's certainly, as I say, a normalisation and a widespread use. And I suppose we need to recognise that within that widespread use, as I say, there are a number of populations that we could intervene with. And as Superintendent Boland makes a fine point of, when we run campaigns, we see that there's a certain level of people who are ready to change or maybe feeling a little bit, you know, that they're on the brink of a change. So campaigns can help those people. But then I suppose there's other interventions. And I, again, not to jump your questions, but I suppose it's, if we look at the evidence-based treatments, we've not done so much in the last 30 years for cocaine or broadly stimulant use, but including cocaine. We haven't developed evidence-based treatments beyond what we know works, and they have modest effects at the moment.
Explain that. What's the issue with not having, is that in terms of when people are addicted, we are not good at weaning them back off?
Well, I suppose what we have is, when someone presents for treatment, we have limited evidence-based interventions that have modest effects. So we know that CBT, talking therapies, and you know, things like contingency management work. But I suppose if we're trying to tackle it at that broader public health intervention, really we need to shift how we do treatment. So again, if you're talking about a general population, really we should be moving that back to, let's say, something like primary care, where people are presenting for other issues at general practice, and we're looking at that opportunity to intervene and to ask people, are you using cocaine and how is that kind of going for you? Whereas if not just waiting, as I say, for someone to have that detrimental issue and present at specialist treatment, we need to find ways, as Superintendent Boland is looking at the broader public health message and getting that out to people. We also need to look at other ways that people present for help. And again, we know that from, let's say, intervening with something as widespread as alcohol use, that just asking someone at general practice can invite a conversation that they, you know, didn't think they could have, and we initiate a treatment. So we're not doing that at the moment in primary care, and I think that that's, we're remiss of that. And then there are other jurisdictions where we see, you know, specialist treatments like psychedelics are something that's showing promise. Again, very controlled RCTs in particular jurisdictions are showing good promise, but as a treatment for stimulant use and particularly cocaine, we haven't done that much in the last 30 years in terms of creating evidence-based, you know, medical interventions.
Let's then return to that issue of demand. Seamus, we see these reports all of the time of major drug interdictions, often as a result of work with significant resources going in across Europe to interdict drugs arriving onto these shores. We see reports of trying to break down the drug gangs. We saw the drug gangs at war with each other. Does there come a point from a policing perspective where it's like trying to bail a boat with a spoon?
No, absolutely not, Anton. That's our role in society. You know, our function is to try and keep communities safe, keep people safe, and it's our role and it's our duty to pursue all of these gangs and these groups that are involved in this activity. You know, like going back to the cocaine issue. As well, like we must remember, probably the most recent full data in relation to, you know, how many people in the population use it or have used it in a lifetime is actually going back to 22 or 23, the Healthy Ireland survey. And, you know, less than 10% of people were you know, admitting to having used cocaine at that stage. Like, that's definitely going to have increased, okay, first of all. So let's say it's even doubled to 20%. There's at least 80% of the population don't use cocaine. Right. So the vast majority of people don't use it. So that's our function then, to make sure, you know, if people are going to be, you know, facilitating or even enhancing, you know, the true corruption to a degree, you know, of our legitimate logistics machinery that actually, you know, is the backbone of the economics into this island. You know, we will pursue all those people. We'll bring them to justice, bring them before the courts, because it's our duty, first of all, to try and apprehend as much of the drug to come into the country to prevent it reaching the street levels, and also to ensure that you know, Ireland is not a soft touch for any international cartel.
But it must be deeply frustrating when, I mean, when you put the amount of effort in that undoubtedly the Gardaí and Defence Forces, when it comes to the Naval Service, do in terms of drug interdiction, both on the streets and in the seas, when you then see what must be a very well-established import business, a very well-established distribution business, if it is available in small towns and villages around the country, it means that there is a sales, there's a retail function all the way around. At a certain point, do you go, we're getting nowhere?
No, it's back to the retail. As I say, that's the basic economics that's unfortunate about the drug trade, Anton. And I think when Forensic Science Ireland is identifying that some of the cocaine actually, you know, being sold in the pubs and clubs, I go back again, is actually less than 2% cocaine. I think that shows you the demand is the issue. You know, reasonable, good people who understand this is an issue need to understand that, irrespective of what impact law enforcement is going to have on the supply chains, you know, if you still have the demand in a pub or a club, they're going to mix up any powder at all that they can get so that they can take the money off you. So you know, that's what's actually happening. So and rather than frustration from our perspective, I can tell you in recent years, the international cooperation across law enforcement globally and on the island of Ireland, you know, the Revenue Commissioner's Customs Service have a role in this and work very, very closely with ourselves in An Garda Síochána. You know, we're actually quite satisfied with the achievements that we're making in interrupting and disrupting, you know, the larger groups, the larger gangs and the cartels and their routes here into Ireland. But a lot of what people are buying as cocaine across pubs and clubs across the country, if there's any cocaine in it at all, the chances are it's going to be very, very limited. So you know, people just need to, I suppose, cop on, if I'm going to be as blunt as I can. And, you know, you're good people. It's social drugs use. Stay away from it and help us all deal with the issue.
Seamus, thank you very much. And likewise, thank you to Johanna. That was Professor in Addiction in the School of Medicine at Trinity College Dublin, Johanna Ivers, and Detective Chief Superintendent Seamus Boland, who is head of An Garda Síochána's Drugs and Organised Crime Bureau.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.